You know, in life, you have so many students, so many parents always admire somebody else. We admire Albert, we admire a lot of different people. You know, we just Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Einstein. We admire others. But everybody actually has the potential to become great. I don't think many people realize that. So, because education tries to homogenize into everybody become mediocre, everybody become average. Education is not designed to cultivate greatness. So I thought this is wrong. Everybody can be great, but nobody tries, only a few people.
Why knowledge matters.
Welcome, I'm Yannick, your host, and now joining me, Yong Zhao. Yong Zhao is a Foundation Distinguished Professor at the University of Kansas. And just by the way, Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. That was actually the very first time I actually saw fully a game, and it was simply a blast. So congratulations.
Thank you. I don't typically get into sports, but I knew you won the game, I guess.
Wonderful, wonderful. So this time, really, we are here to talk about your book, Reach for Greatness. What a title. And I have to admit, this book has so much value in it for an educator or for parents or for whatever it is. But now let's start. First and foremost, why did you write the book, Reach for Greatness, in the first place?
Well, Yannick, I think it's in life, you have so many students, so many parents always admire somebody else. We admire Albert, we admire a lot of different people. You know, we just Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Einstein. We admire others. But everybody actually has the potential to become great. I don't think many people realize that. So, because education tries to homogenize into everybody become mediocre, everybody become average. Education is not designed to cultivate greatness. So I thought this is wrong. Everybody can be great, but nobody tries, only a few people. So I think in the 21st century, everybody not only can be great, they need to be great in their own way. So that's how I started this book.
It's so important. And I think this is true empowerment. And what you really bring to the very fore, what really education ought to be. You know, it's really developed from within, you know, to be really the very best that you can possibly be. And I really, really admire this book. So let's dive a little bit into it. You talk about personalizable education. Explain.
Well, I think first of all, we need to start with what we call personalization of learning. In order for everyone to be great, you need to be unique. And everybody is actually born unique. Everybody has unique experiences. You know, I'm just very surprised. Out of all so many people in Canada who speak English perfectly, right? And everybody is running an English school to teach others. They can be great in some way, but they did not capture that. So you're born great, and you need a personalized learning process to capture your passion and your strength. So we think all learning should be personalized. But what happens in school is that we have adults personalize learning for you, your parents, your teachers, your school. So I said it's not personalized. It is personalizable. We create an education system that enables students to personalize learning for themselves. So that's why I call it personalizable. You got to make it possible for individual students to personalize the learning for them in the school.
And this is something that, of course, at first glance, it seems to be extremely, you know, complicated and complex and so on. But really what you also touched on that is this uniqueness, right? Everyone, simply by the fact that we are just different, we see things different, we have different experience, we are just very different. So therefore, we also have to develop ultimately and have to bring or contribute something unique to society in order to make it better, right? And so it makes so much sense. And you also talk about this obsession of this achievement gaps. In other words, we always focus on the negative. So please dive into that and why this is so detrimental actually for the development of our youth.
Well, Yannick, this is amazing what you picked on, is that in education, we have several kind of unnecessary and harmful obsessions. One of that is that we want all our children to be good. Well, everybody says that. But most people, to be good means to meet the expectation of the government, to meet the expectation of the school, which often comes either with standards, with testing, or with homework, or whatever they want to do. Then if you have one standard, you just apply it to all children. Some children will do better, some will do worse, some will just do right. I mean, just about average. So we look at those other children, we're obsessed, we want to help you, but we're not helping them, but we want to help you. So we spend so much energy and so much money trying to so-called help others. Even if you helped others, those people may become, at the best, they're still worse than the top ones. Why don't we just give up on that? Look at these children. What would you like to do? What can you do? What you want to do? How can we help you become who you are, not who the government wants? I think that's that obsession is very sick. It's harmful, but we think we're helping. Another obsession is about efficiency. If you look at Yannick, our school, we put all children born in the same year in one grade, and then we expect them to move forward like this. People don't do like that, but we're obsessed because we think it's efficient. I'm one teacher teaching 1 year, but children never like that. So inevitably, at the end of each year, somebody is worse, somebody is better. But why do you compare like that? So those kind of obsessions have really held education backwards. And because we really have the view that we want to compare people, their difference lies in how good they are, not how diverse they are. Because in our traditional education, we just compare people to say, are you better, are you worse? We are not saying, are you different?
And you also mentioned, you know, about mediocrity, right? We really foster through a system like this that everyone is somehow mediocre, but no one really, except, as you mentioned, a few who, for whatever reasons, had a personalizable education. I think they had, as you, basically, you know, through, you know, some chance or whatever, but you see that in those kind of people, like you mentioned, that they had those personalizable education, you know, which makes it so powerful. Now, of course, one also could argue that one of the challenges, and I know that you're not, that's not necessarily a problem, but I just want to raise it. One of the things is always, of course, we want to at least give everyone, you know, that's equality, the same exposure to certain core subject, right? But what you also suggest in your book is that this needs not necessarily go up to the 12th grade, let's say. So elaborate, please, on that and how this really could help, because you're not necessarily saying that we just should get rid of everything and everyone does whatever. No, of course, it needs structure. You are very, very specific in your book, too.
Well, I think, you know, we have a very homogeneous view of education. But really, if you look today, Yannick, I mean, every day we are learning. Every day you are learning. You really don't have to stay in one place to learn, in one classroom. Today with ChatGPT, with artificial intelligence, with online, with YouTube, with TikTok, you are learning. I mean, there are so many children, young children running their own TV shows. They're learning. They're not just producing. I mean, everything, every time you do something, you are learning. But I think traditionally, as you mentioned, our schools have defined what learning is, even though it's useless, but we still define that's like as valuable. For example, if you examine K-12 schools, what's valuable, what's not valuable, we don't even know. We don't make an argument. So I think schools are needed to have schools, some courses. You need some courses. For example, everybody is a citizen of Quebec. Okay, you better know some history there. So know some civics there. That's right. But you also need people to develop their own uniqueness, to be great, to reach out. I'm Quebec. Does not mean you're only Quebec. You are global, no matter where you are, right? So I think now we have a misunderstanding of education as passing on knowledge that's determined by the government to our kids. I think, education is political. It's a lot of fight, but I would hope definitely somehow, some way you can help individuals thrive in their own way.
And exactly, that's what you're mentioning in your book, that all talents are worth developing. Now, one of the big challenges also like that, you need somehow a structure. You need family, for example, who also give these frameworks and guidelines to a kid, you know, in order to explore and in order to be exposed to it, in order to actually discover what you're truly good at. And I think that's also one of the challenges, of course, that in generally the society faces with so many changes. Parents are very busy, occupied with, you know, being able to provide for their kids. So it's definitely not easy. But also you mentioned that it's very, very political. But I think there can be, if people are honest, to actually find a common denominator which we can all agree upon. And I think you touched on that too, like civics, right? We agree that, okay, we want to live in a democracy, right? We want to enjoy certain freedoms, you know, in which we can strive.
Yeah, I think, in education, you know, children have to learn some common knowledge, you know, something common. But what is that common can be agreed upon by schools. But that common at least takes maybe one third of the school time, 30% of the time. That's enough to learn about basics. You know, how do you vote? What's the system? What's it like? And maybe that's, but the rest of that maybe should be complete personalization. But the other challenge is this, like you mentioned, parents may not be able to take their children anywhere. They're busy. They have to provide. But we need to enable the children. So this is something, I think, I don't know if I told you this last time. I have a hard time, you know, accepting that children are only children. Children do a lot of things. You know, if you live in a poor family as a migrant, even in Canada or in the US, children are translators. They bring in new information to their parents who don't speak English. I was working in northern Thailand. Children become the messenger of transformation. We taught them how to grow rice so their parents wouldn't do drugs. So they are the messenger going back. Children always the messenger. So why do you always treat them as someone who doesn't know? Like I was young, I was a kid. I was reading books for my father who can go find water buffaloes. So I think it's our view of our children. Today's children, I mean, I'm sure a lot of parents rely on their children teaching them how to use the iPhone, how to use the new tools. We need to enable our children to do something. They are a lot more than They are more than consumers. They are creators. I think our schools need to change that perspective. You know, we cannot just blame parents. We should really enable children to be transformers of communities.
And that's what I love, because you actually mentioned it's about product-oriented learning, you know, truly providing value creation for society, you know, and that's, this could be somehow built into it, right? Where, because it goes back to our very nature when we were hunter-gatherers, right? We were entrepreneur, you know, at the time,
exactly.
Right?
And I think, I think, you know, this is, I'm so happy you and I are talking about this book. Another thing, you know, you and I chatted last time, was talking about luck. Everybody has opportunity, but not everybody is lucky. Luck means you're exposed to all those things and you can take advantage of that. That makes you luckier. So I think our schools, we don't, again, teach that. How do you, when something happens, how do you help yourself to take advantage of that? Again, that's the uniqueness of you. And when you are solving problems, like you said, product-oriented learning, you are creating value for others. I mean, in the 21st century, you need to create value for others, not just you are better than others. I mean, so you, to become great is to create value for other people.
Yeah, it's truly, I mean, there's nothing more, you know, compelling also in having a vision for yourself by truly creating value, because ultimately it's all about creating value. That's the life purpose of every human being, right? And with a personalizable education, that's really the road we have to ultimately go. And I think everything now with the new technology, as you mentioned, is heading to that direction. Everything goes to really skilled labor. You know, you have to really get something that you're really, really good at, and then you are able to actually make a living out of it.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, making a living for many kids in a developed countries may not be hard, but make a meaningful, happy life, that's the challenge. I think in the, you know, to reach for greatness, Yannick, does not only mean you can get a job. It really means you live a fulfilling, a great life. So that's really what this book was about.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes also we say that, well, you know, poor countries, they have a harder time or not. But oftentimes, actually, it's ultimately the same thing, right? Because if you want to provide for your family or whatever, that gives you the very purpose of doing what you're doing. Let's say you grew up, like, you know, in, let's say in poverty, right? So, but this is your whole meaning. And now what we have is we have an abundance almost, like here in, especially in the Western world, right? And so the problems are just different. It's actually now what's hard for young people, especially, to actually decide what path they want to take, right? Because it's, I always think for myself, well, if you're not willing to spend at least 10 years in something to really get good at it, if you're not willing to invest 10 years, then don't even go for it, you
That's
know,
right.
Because
yeah.
I truly believe that you need at least 10 years to really get a pro in whatever it is, you know. And so that's also a huge challenge for young people, right? And I think that's also, and that's why I like your book, and that's why it's so important that we start preparing them, you know, for building a vision, because without vision, you know, people ultimately perish, you know.
Yeah, so absolutely. I love what you said, Yannick. Without vision, you perish. I think every human being needs to have that hope and needs also strive for greatness. I don't want people to end up average, but that's a miserable life. You want to become great. And then when you have a vision, you work for that 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, because you enjoy that. Like for me, I don't distinguish vacation and work. It's, for me, it's all the same. My work is my vacation, my vacation, my work. I don't have, you know, I just enjoy doing what I do. I think that's amazing, you know.
And this is why you are such a change maker, you know, because you are one of the few that actually walk the talk, you know, who are able to inspire students, you know, and it takes effort, right? Because you live it, right? Because what you do is your purpose. There's nothing that you like more than what you're doing, you know. And that's why you have ultimately disciples, right? Followers, right? That's why you have so many followers, right? And so that's really, I think, where also we have to more and more also focus to some extent also to that we can have a way that we can actually inspire, give young people somehow a vision, you know, that they can truly, truly become great, you know?
Absolutely, Yannick. Well, I think, you know, the work you are doing and the work we are all doing is to inspire. And also we are very realistic. We inspire those who can be inspired. So this is we're never disappointed. We can always inspire because there are people who are willing to be, who are interested in this, we will do it. If not, this is a very diverse society. Everybody has different opinions. We believe in the idea that everyone can reach for greatness.
Absolutely. I love that, and I can't agree more with you. And that's why it's always such a pleasure and honor conversing with you. You are truly someone I truly look up to, and your writing and everything you do is truly admired. You're truly a gift to me and to the world. What's the meaning of life for you?
Well, Yannick, the meaning of life for me is to live. To live is to do something, right? You cannot let a life just pass. You don't want life to happen to you. You live the life. Life just doesn't happen to you. You live the life. You make meaning out of life.
That is beautiful. And again, it's you take ownership, you take control of your situation. And this is in itself empowering, right? So I really love that. What's your favorite practical advice to let our future generations and also older people, it doesn't really matter. I think that's always a problem. You always say, well, the future, you know, our kids. No, the future is now. The future is created now. And it doesn't matter if you're 90 or 15 or 12 or whatever. I really take to some extent offense. I know people like 94 who still go every single day, go to the gym because they love life, you know, not because they want to hold on, but because they want to contribute. They want to still contribute and still work, right, for you. So again, back to the question, what's your favorite practical advice to let our kids soar like eagles?
Well, I think every kid should really believe the future is made by them, and they are going to contribute to that future. Future just doesn't happen to you. You should not let it happen to you. You should try to determine at least part of it what should be like. You are the future.
Professor, Dr. Yong Sao, thank you so much for being back. Such a honor and pleasure.
Thank you so much, Yannick. Take care.
Yong Sao.
That's why knowledge matters. Make your life a masterpiece. Visit now programs.d-ykm.com.